From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, Governor Rick Perry gives the State of the State address.
It is my pleasure to report that the state of our state is stronger than ever.
Reading between the lines, did Perry state something about his political future?
Elections in Texas are still about the Republican primary, and there was very little in there for primary voters.
What is the state of Governor Rick Perry? His polling numbers are showing signs of weakness.
Well, most Texas voters are ready for Rick Perry to move on.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. For the seventh time, Governor Rick Perry stood in front of the joint Texas legislative bodies and delivered the State of the State address. It's Perry's time to stand tall in his boots and explain his vision for the future of Texas to the lawmakers. In the State of the State that Perry provided on Tuesday, he called for tax cuts, education reform, and spending the rainy day fund on water and transportation projects. He steered clear of his pet controversial issues, like completely eliminating abortion and the drug testing of people who receive family assistance and unemployment benefits. In the past, Perry used the State of the State address to declare proposals as emergency items, meaning fast-tracking bills that would allow the legislature to act on them within the first 60 days of the session. But none of the topics that Perry addressed were named as emergency items. Two SMU political science professors disagree on whether Governor Rick Perry's call for a tax cut will sail through the legislature. We asked professors Cal Gilson and Matthew Wilson to watch the governor's State of the State speech and tell us what impressed them. KERA's Shelley Koffler has the highlights.
It is my pleasure to report that the state of our state is stronger than ever.
Standing on the dais in the Texas House, an energized Governor Perry seemed like the head cheerleader at a pep rally, as he said the Texas economy was the envy of the nation.
We led the nation out of the recession and into recovery, remained the nation's prime destination for employers and job seekers alike.
Perry credited the Texas model of limited spending for the state having a budget surplus and money in the rainy day savings account. Some lawmakers want to use that money to restore funding to education and programs slashed 2 years ago. But Governor Perry has another idea.
In a legislative session where we can see billions of dollars still on the table after we've funded our services and met the needs of an ever-expanding population, I think providing tax relief of at least $1.8 billion over this biennium is a good place to start.
SMU political science professor Matthew Wilson says it was a home run message for the mostly Republican crowd.
I don't think he will have any problem getting tax relief through an overwhelmingly Republican legislature. The devil will be in the details on the tax relief. It wasn't very clear exactly how that tax relief would come about. Are we talking about checks being sent out to individual taxpayers? Are we talking about tax credits for business? Those specifics still need to be fleshed out.
But Wilson's SMU colleague, Professor Cal Gilson, says giving tax breaks may not go over very well with Texans who believe education and other basic programs are still bleeding after funding cuts 2 years ago.
I think both Democrats and Republicans are very concerned that we've got issues to deal with and that we don't really have the revenues for a tax cut. People who have to actually put pencil to paper and figure out how to fund Texas state government and to rebuild the education funding that was lost last time. And so in the end, I don't think we'll be dealing with tax cuts in this session.
Gilson also sees friction over Perry's promise to keep Texas out of the federal government's Medicaid expansion program.
Texas will not drive millions more into an unsustainable system, General, a system that will drive this state into bankruptcy.
Joining the program would provide health insurance for more than a million Texans and bring billions of federal dollars to the state.
It's a lot of money. Over the next decade, we would receive more than $100 billion in federal funds, and we would have to come up with $15 billion in Texas revenues to draw down those funds. And the governor thinks that the revenues are going to remain tight, and he doesn't want to build in that extra funding. But the business community and the hospitals and the healthcare system is just beside itself because they need that money to balance their books.
Professor Matt Wilson believes Perry's speech was also notable for what he didn't say, especially about immigration, which was a prime topic during his last State of the State address.
There was no talk about immigration control measures. There was no talk about desires to toughen border security, any of that sort of thing. I think that Rick Perry has really turned the page on that. I think he was sending a pretty clear signal that he wants to cultivate the Latino constituency and speak to their needs and perspectives.
Professors Wilson and Gilson both believe it was significant that Perry called for spending nearly $4 billion to jumpstart water and transportation projects. After all, this is a guy who doesn't like to spend money. And they agreed that the overall tone of the speech laid the groundwork for Governor Perry to seek re-election.
See, Texans have succeeded to the tune of more than 500,000 private sector jobs added over the last 2 years.
It was a speech about Texas exceptionalism, about how well we've done over the course of his time.
But Wilson says he heard nothing that rehabilitated Perry's national image.
It's a bit more of a stretch to think about another presidential run because the first one went so badly.
May God continue to bless the great state of Texas.
Shelley Koffler, KERA News.
Governor Perry said some interesting things about higher education in the State of the State address, mostly focused on keeping tuition costs down and making a Rio Grande Valley UT satellite campus a recipient of the Permanent University Fund. But he didn't say anything about restoring the budget cuts to the public education budget. $5.4 billion was cut during the 82nd legislative session because of a budget shortfall. And Bob Sanborn of the nonprofit Children at Risk says those spending cuts are hurting Texas classrooms today.
As we talk to people around the state of Texas, it's very interesting. You know, I don't really hear a lot of people clamoring for a tax rebate or a tax cut, but increasingly we're hearing from a lot of parents that they are upset about class size or about the elimination of pre-K programs. And I think that when we're talking about our children and we're talking about public education, I don't want any public official to sort of stand on ideology. And I really would hope that people would do what's best for the future of Texas. And in this case, I think it's our children. And so we really don't believe that we're going to be able to restore $5.4 billion in cuts that have been made to public education. But at the very least, we should probably be listening to those parents and saying, okay, how do we at least reduce the class size back to the state mandates? How do we at least fund pre-K programs, which research shows have such a positive impact on the success of so many kids?
So they cut $5.4 billion out of the education, public education budget in the last legislative session. How much impact did that have on the actual results of education?
I think, you know, to have a true measure of impact on learning, it's going to take a little while. Unfortunately, we probably don't want to take a while with things that seem very obvious to us. Is that when we cut a lot of this money, there's an obvious and research-based negative impact on the success of our kids. Again, class sizes and pre-K are two areas of which there's immense, just loads of research. And we would really hope that the state legislature and that the governor would sort of look at the evidence. You know, we've been very good in the past in the state of Texas at being able to say we like to do what's best for our kids and we like to follow best practices and research. I think in this instance, we're not necessarily doing that. And we don't want to give people a tax rebate on the backs of the success of the future of Texas, on the backs of our children.
So what were some ways that school districts had to adapt in order to deal with their tightened budgets?
I think as we looked across the state of Texas, there of course, was some waste in terms of how school districts were managed. Of course, as districts decided to do energy audits and transportation audits, they found lots of ways to save money. So we saw a lot of efficiencies develop during this budget crisis for school districts. People found ways to do more with less. But I think what we also found is that there was this sort of breaking point, you know, where certainly districts that had some poor leadership weren't cutting the right things. And a lot of school districts, I mean, even the best-run school districts, what we saw were that teachers' jobs were left unfulfilled or unfilled, and we saw that class sizes got bigger. So even if I'm an average parent in a suburban, relatively affluent suburban district, even I am concerned that my child in grade four has too many kids in his or her classroom. I think it's something that has impacted all Texas families.
Bob Sanborn is the president and CEO of Children at Risk, which is pushing for an increase in public school funding in Texas. Governor Perry's speech is being picked apart for what it might tell us about his future political plans. Will he or won't he run for re-election and or run again for president? To help tease out the possible future is Harvey Kronberg, editor of the Quorum Report, an online newsletter dedicated to Texas politics.
I think that when everything was said and done, it was probably repositioning himself as an elder statesman. It was in many ways conciliatory, spoke of victories and accomplishments and achievements, specifically avoided some of the more inflammatory and provocative things that have populated previous speeches like abortion and immigration. While it's certainly not conclusive, it did not sound like a campaign speech to me, and that it was not being directed towards Republican primary voters. When everything is said and done, for me, the theme was that the business of Texas is business.
So even throwing out a positive name check to President Obama, not a lot of red meat, not a lot of social issues in the address. So you think this may be, if you want to look in the tea leaves, a sign that maybe Rick Perry is not, that maybe he's run his last election.
It sounded like, to me, it was a victory lap speech, and it was positioning him as an elder statesman and the wise man of Texas politics, and that this does not presume that he will not run for re-election or run for president, but it certainly is a tone change from what we've come to expect over previous speeches. And to me, it sounded like it was calming the waters rather than roiling them.
To play devil's advocate here, to go up there and make the centerpiece of your address, cutting taxes, giving taxpayers back some of their money, that's something that you definitely can run on in future campaigns.
That was probably that and some passing reference to vouchers and school choice and $10,000 college educations, definitely bumper sticker type things that certainly would have some electoral appeal when everything is said and done. Elections in Texas are still about the Republican primary, and there was very little in there for primary voters, and frankly, the odds of any kind of tax rebate or tax refund to taxpayers is pretty unlikely considering the needs facing the state, even just infrastructure needs. It was also interesting that he gave his seal of approval to utilizing rainy day funds for both water and apparently for roads.
Yeah, that's a big pivot from where before the rainy day fund was sacred and couldn't be touched.
That's correct. Now, they're going to position this as one-time uses of the rainy day fund, which was the metric that they had put out previously. But it addresses major needs that the business community is screaming for. And certainly it's pragmatic politics and it's pragmatic governance.
So what about the chances of some of these things that Rick Perry ticked off in his State of the State address, particularly tax cuts? Will that actually get passed and become law in the legislature?
Returning tax money has a certain appeal to it, but I don't think there's going to be much appetite for it in the legislature.
So Rick Perry is also looking at not so good polling numbers. Do you think this speech was an effort to try and shore up his support?
Well, the governor's been spent most of his political career with mediocre polling numbers. He manages, of course, to prevail during elections, but most of his political career he's had less than 50% approval.
And lastly, what do you make of this Greg Abbott pledging that he would not run against Rick Perry in a primary?
I put that on the same par as Rick Perry telling Kay Bailey Hutchison that he was going to run one more time in 2006 and that 2010 would be her turn.
So don't put any stock in it.
I think that I most of the people around those two men believe that they had an agreement that Governor Perry, this would be Governor Perry's last term, that Abbott is running full throttle. But you don't say that in the middle of a legislative term and create a lame duck.
Harvey Kronberg is the editor of the Quorum Report, an online newsletter that covers Texas politics. It's at quorumreport.com. We just mentioned that Rick Perry's polling numbers don't look as good as he might like. These are the polling numbers generated by PPP, Public Policy Polling. They recently conducted polls asking Texans what they thought about their big-name politicians and their political attitudes. Tom Jensen is with Public Policy Polling.
Well, most Texas voters are ready for Rick Perry to move on. We found that only 31% of voters think he should run for re-election next year. 62% think it's time for him to step aside. And that's just a reflection of his approval numbers, which have been low ever since his failed presidential bid and continue to be low. Only 41% of voters approve of him, 54% disapprove. We've polled on most governors in the country, and Rick Perry is one of the most unpopular governors in the country.
So you found that he would be very vulnerable to a primary challenger, and you matched him up in your polls against Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott, who's been, you know, rumored to be considering that same race.
Yeah, we found that Perry would start out with only a 41-38 lead over Greg Abbott in the primary, and what's interesting about that is that Abbott only has 59% name recognition. There's still a lot of voters who aren't familiar with him. We found that among voters who did know who Greg Abbott is, Abbott leads Perry by 22 points, 55 to 33. So it seems like if Abbott really does get into the race, there's a pretty good chance that he would knock Perry off.
So Abbott looks very strong. And you compared Abbott against other potential Democratic challengers?
Yeah, we found that if Greg Abbott is the Republican candidate for governor next year, Republicans probably will hold on to the office. We tested him against four different Democrats, Bill White, Julian Castro, Wendy Davis, and Anise Parker. And Abbott has leads ranging from 7 to 12 points against those four Democrats. We also tested those same four Democrats against Perry. It's a lot closer for the Democrats when Perry's in the mix. Bill White actually led Perry by 3 points in a rematch of 2010, and then Perry was up by 5 to 7 points against the other three. So Democrats probably actually would rather run against Perry again. They'd have a better chance of beating him than the fresher face in Abbott.
San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro has been talked about a lot as having a future in Texas, statewide politics, possibly a run for governor sometime. So how did he do in your polling?
Well, the most interesting thing I think that we found about Mayor Castro is that as much national attention as he's received over the last 4 or 5 months, only 53% of voters in Texas are familiar with him. So he would still have a fair amount of work to do in a statewide campaign of introducing himself to voters in the state. And in these head-to-head matchups, he trailed Greg Abbott by 10 points, trailed Rick Perry by 5 points. So I think definitely he does have a lot of statewide potential. 2014 might be a little bit early for him to be able to take that lead.
People are still speculating that Rick Perry might be considering another bid for the White House. And what did your polling say about if that has any legs?
Yeah, Texas voters really don't think Perry should run for president again. Only 14% would like to see him make another bid. 79% say Perry shouldn't run again. We did a bunch of polling right after Perry's presidential bid ended last year and found that Texas voters thought Perry's campaign had really hurt the state's image with the rest of the country. And I think these numbers now saying that people don't want him to run again are kind of a reflection of people feeling like Perry's bid might not have been a great thing for Texas.
Now, did y'all also look at how popular President Barack Obama is in Texas?
Yeah, President Obama continues to be unpopular in the state. Only 47% of voters approve of him to 51% who disapprove. But that 47% is a higher percentage than Obama got at the polls in November. And it reflects the bounce that we've seen for him nationally since the election. A lot of folks sort of rallying around him, giving him a chance as he starts his second term. But I think certainly it's possible that this is just a momentary bump and that after a few months, his numbers will go back into the low 40s where we found him in Texas for most of his term.
One of the hot button issues in the country right now is guns and possible gun control. And the NRA, National Rifles Association, seems to be a whipping boy in some of the media. So how popular is the NRA in Texas?
Oh, we find that the NRA is relatively popular in Texas. 46% of voters see it favorably, 40% unfavorably. And, of course, the signature proposal the NRA has brought forth since the school shooting in Connecticut last month is this idea of putting armed police officers in every school. And we find that Texas voters support that initiative by a 47-39 margin. So the NRA is holding up better in Texas than it is a lot of places.
And I guess that should not be that surprising. U.S. Senator John Cornyn, he's up for re-election soon, and people are talking about a primary challenge for him, possibly from the Tea Party. How is he standing in Texas?
Well, the most interesting thing about Senator Cornyn's numbers is that even after 10 years in the Senate, 30% of voters in the state don't have an opinion about him. He's really, at least in Texas, a relatively low-profile senator. And we find that voters who do have an opinion about him are pretty evenly split. 34% approve of the job he's doing, 36% disapprove. But one thing I should note with so many voters having no opinion about Cornyn is that this is actually something we find pretty regularly in really large states like Texas, Florida, New York, California. It can just be hard with so many voters to keep in touch with to really maintain that high profile. I don't think Cornyn is terribly vulnerable for re-election. We find that with Republicans, his approval is 57%. Only 15% of Republican voters disapprove of him. Those numbers don't really suggest that he should be too vulnerable in a primary. And then against the Democrats, we tested he's up by anywhere from 3 to 11 points, maybe a little weaker than you would usually see a Republican statewide in Texas, but probably nothing where you would say, oh, he's really vulnerable for re-election.
Well, you say that he is not really vulnerable, but with those kind of squishy numbers, it seems like it would be easier for them to define him in a negative way.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely true, for instance, in last year's Senate primary that David Dewhurst started out with a large lead, and then Ted Cruz was really able to chip away at him over the period of a couple months. Cornyn, obviously, over the last 2 years has been really focused on his role in the National Republican Party, serving as chair of the National Republican Senatorial Committee and stuff like that. And I think maybe focusing too much on those jobs that take him to places other than Texas probably has something to do with why his numbers maybe aren't as high as you would expect them to be. And I think he, you know, now may realize with 21 months to his reelection, only a little over a year to a primary, that he is going to have to be a lot more attentive to Texas in 2013 than he maybe has been over the last few years.
Well, Hillary Clinton, we don't know if she's running for president or not, but you take a look at what Texans would do if she did in 2016, and what did you find?
We actually found Hillary Clinton would have a pretty decent chance of winning Texas. We tested her against three Republicans, and she was up against Marco Rubio by 1 point, Chris Christie by 2 points, and the widest lead was actually against Rick Perry at 8 points. So Clinton, at least for now, would have a chance to do something no Democrat's done in Texas for a very long time.
Yeah, win in Texas. And well, let's take a look, drill a little deeper on where that support for her is coming from. I mean, she is a Democrat, and Hillary Care, and it used to be that she was a person who wasn't too popular in Texas. Where's all her support coming from?
Well, the key thing, first of all, is that she's universally liked by Democrats. 91% have a favorable opinion of her, but Hillary Clinton actually polls pretty well with independents, a 52-41 favorability spread. And one thing that definitely never would have been imaginable 20 years ago is that Clinton has unusual appeal to Republicans for a Democrat. She still only has about 20% of Republicans with a positive opinion of her, but that's actually higher than you would see for most national Democratic figures at this point.
Now, Texas has a new senator, Ted Cruz, and he won an upset against Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst. So where is he doing in the polls with voter approval in Texas?
Ted Cruz actually already has the highest net approval of any of Texas's major politicians. 36% of voters approve of him. That's more than the 30% who disapprove, and that's better numbers than President Obama, Senator Cornyn, or Governor Perry has in the state. 34% of voters with no opinion about Cruz, That's not surprising after only a month in office.
So how is Texas doing in regards to gay marriage, which is something that the Supreme Court will be taking up pretty soon?
Texas voters continue to oppose gay marriage. Only 35% of voters think it should be legal. 55% think it should be illegal. But when you look at the broader issue of civil unions, 61% of voters in Texas support civil unions for same-sex couples. Only 36% think that there should be no legal rights for gay couples whatsoever. And this is really what we're seeing throughout most of the South right now. Pretty much any southern state we go into and poll, voters are still uncomfortable with actually providing the institution of marriage to gay couples, but they are okay with giving gay couples equal legal rights.
But gay marriage, no way in Texas right now, 55% opposed. Texas secession is something that has become almost a legitimate issue. I don't know what to make of it, but there it is. And you asked Texans what they thought about it.
Yeah, we found that 20% of voters in Texas support seceding from the United States. That's up from 14% in September of 2011, and I think that probably most of that increase is attributable to President Obama's reelection. We found that Republicans in particular, 35% of them support secession. So still not a huge percentage of voters in Texas who support this movement, but it is a little bit on the rise. At the same time, I would expect that as the unhappiness about Obama's reelection starts to abate some more, that number will probably go back down.
And there's no way of knowing if this is a legitimate belief in secession or some fantasy that people may have.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, when they say they want to secede, it's just an expression of frustration with the president. Probably if they really had the option, they would have to give it a little bit more thought.
Now, we have the Super Bowl this weekend, and Dallas, are they playing?
No.
Okay, so that may have a big reason for what you found about Jerry Jones.
Yeah, Jerry Jones is an extremely unpopular figure in Texas. Only 13% of voters see him favorably. 50% have a negative opinion of him. And what's most interesting is that when we drilled down and asked about Jerry Jones just among Cowboys fans, 52% of Cowboys fans say they think the franchise would be better off without Jerry Jones as their owner. Only 14% say they actually think it would hurt the Cowboys if they didn't have Jerry Jones. So certainly after over 15 years now without a Super Bowl trip for the Cowboys, fans are getting pretty restless with their owner.
So Jerry Jones, unpopular, but not the most unpopular athletic figure in Texas. And that honor, dishonor, would go to who?
Lance Armstrong just has horrid poll numbers in Texas. Only 16% of voters see him positively. 59% have a negative opinion of him. We thought maybe polling Texas that Armstrong's numbers would be a little bit better there than in some other states where we've polled him over the last few weeks. Not really the case. He's just completely shattered his image.
Tom Jensen is with Public Policy Polling, which asked Texans what they think about their politicians. PPP surveyed 500 Texas voters, as well as 400 usual Republican primary voters from January 24th to the 27th. The margin of error for the overall sample is plus or minus 4.4% overall. The polling was not paid for or authorized by any campaign or political organization. PPP surveys are conducted through automated telephone interviews. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with your thoughts about the program to texasmatters@tpr.org. You can also comment right there on our website at tpr.org. That's also where you can listen to past Texas Matters programs. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.